May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the comfort and peace of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. Our focus, as we said earlier, is on our epistle reading from Galatians chapter 5, and we read for emphasis the 1st and 13th verse. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of bondage or slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. That's our focus. At the University of Oklahoma, and then later at Central Washington University, for many years a project was underway to teach a female chimpanzee named Washo to talk by combining sign language with simple recognition. The experiment was going on since 1966. The Washo actually died in 2007. But in that time, the chimpanzee learned 140 signs in American Sign Language. Finally, the project directors decided that Washo was prepared to conceptualize, in other words, speak in a sense. That meant that instead of merely imitating human words, the chimp would express words of her own. Now understand, Washo was a pampered animal in a university laboratory, well-fed, physically comfortable, safe from harm. She had security. And yet, when she was able to put words together on her own into a phrase, these were the first three. And she said them repeatedly, "Let me out. Let me out." Freedom and independence. We'll be celebrating our national holiday centered on these, freedom and independence. But have you noticed, though, I'm sure you have noticed, that we can misuse freedom and independence. For instance, on the highway, on the street, where some people drive with no thought of others. They weave in and out, they cut us off, they force us to have an emergency stop, but they keep on going along. Or what about when you're waiting in line? And of course, we Americans hate waiting in line, don't we? But anyway, you're waiting in line, and what happens? Someone cuts in. And they have no concern, no thought. They may even look at you as they're doing it, thinking nothing of it, because they're in a hurry, and they are most important. They have the freedom to do it. Or have you ever been someplace where the rules and regulations, maybe at the swimming pool, it gives you guidance on what you can and can't do, and then you see people just completely disregarding the instructions, doing what they want, when they want, oblivious to the rules that are featured. They completely disregard them. Well, we see from these things that freedom and independence can be misused, and our freedom in Christ can be misunderstood. But Paul's inspired words in Galatians chapter 5 tell us that we are set free to serve. Set free to serve. I put an exclamation point and a question mark there just to make things interesting, if you'll notice that in your bulletin. So Paul tells of a false freedom, but then he shows us the true freedom we have in Christ in just those two verses I read earlier. False freedom, first of all, seeks to get its own way. It is not the freedom that gives us life, really. And we see how Jesus and St. Paul clearly made clear statements about these things. And actually, Jesus and St. Paul reserved their most bitter comments for those who would use religion as a means to get others to do what they want. And of course, first of all, Jesus and the Pharisees. The Pharisees, we know them, they placed great stress on observance of rites and ceremonies. They knew all the 618 laws of God, most of which they put together themselves. They made a pretense of superior piety, and they separated themselves from the common people. So what does Jesus say to them? Well, in Matthew chapter 23, verse 15, gentle Jesus, meek and mild, says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to win a single convert, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you are." Then St. Paul speaks about legalists. There were legalistic Judaizers. These are Jewish Christians that believed, among other things, that a number of the ceremonial practices of the Old Testament were still binding in the New Testament church, especially circumcision. So what does Paul have to say? In Galatians 5, verse 11, this is what part of the chapter we did not read. He says to them, "Brothers, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offense of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves." Strong language for the scriptures, strong language for Paul. But Paul also has a warning for those who live to get what they want for themselves. Now, we call this freedom lawlessness or antinomianism, to use a larger, more comprehensive idea. And then, of course, simple selfishness. And so in our text, we hear Paul say, "The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God." In another place, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10, Paul says these rather strong words. "Do you not know that the wicked will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither the sexually immoral, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor male prostitutes, nor homosexual offenders, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." And then in Colossians chapter 3, again, note Paul's strong language. "Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. But now you must rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self." Is anybody squirming at this point? I think it's easy to do so, especially with that last phrase, rid yourselves of anger, malice, slander, filthy language, don't lie. We're in real trouble if that's all there is. Well, to lighten things up a bit, the pastor called the children up to the front for a children's sermon. And it was the Sunday before the 4th of July, just like today. The pastor told about the freedom that we have in this country, of course, and the freedom we have in Christ Jesus. And so one little boy had listened. He said, "I'm free." And the pastor heartily agreed. Not to be outdone, another boy probably pronounced, "I'm for." Freedom that seeks to get its own way is false freedom. Freedom through the law, or freedom by throwing out the law, is not true freedom. Well, then what is true freedom, as God's word tells us? Well, the true freedom that gives us life is revealed to us by Christ himself. It is only the love given to us by God in Christ Jesus that brings us true freedom. For there is no limit to how much we can do when we give away what God first has given to us. We know that Bible passage by heart, John 3:16, "For God so loved," and we recognize that that was to rescue us from sin's bondage. We are not independent, we are dependent on the God who loved us in Jesus Christ. The only true lasting independence is the freedom that God gives us. This freedom loved us to death. The death of his son, Jesus, our Savior, on the cross. Delivered from sin and death, then, we are freed by Christ's death to then live for him. And as we live in that freedom, Paul's list of the fruit of the Spirit, similar to his other lists, maps out how the Christian life freely expresses itself as it seeks to no longer be served, but to serve. Now, as you, let's see what we have here. Again, that list from Galatians chapter 5. I'm not sure if you can read it. It's rather small, but I'd like us all to read it together. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. It's on your insert, and it's down toward almost the end of the epistle, about a third down, the second column. Let's share together verses 22 and 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. How many ever memorized that or sang that song? Let me see your hands. Any remember that? For the fruit of, let's see, I'm not good at singing, so I won't go through it. I won't pain you with that. But anyway, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, etc. Those nine gifts of the Spirit. That's what freedom of life is about. As God, as forgiven sinners, we live differently in our freedom in Jesus Christ. Now, Paul has other lists, other ways the Spirit works in our lives. And so now listen to Colossians chapter 3. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against each other. And why? Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Another positive list is given to us in 1 Corinthians 13, we might say the love chapter. And again, we know this quite well. Love is patient, love is kind. And what does it not do? It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. But what does love do? Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. God's love, as we hear about it in these lists, moves us to love others. But there's more than that, really. The freedom to love as God first loved us and gave himself for us is actually given to us in holy baptism and in the Lord's Supper. For as the apostle reminds us, those who belong to Christ have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. The crucifixion of ourselves is done in holy baptism. We die to sin and we rise to new life. Not only by setting his face toward Jerusalem, Jesus instead went all the way to the cross, making full payment for our sins. And so in baptism, we rise daily, we die and rise daily with Christ. And then in the Lord's Supper, Christ's body and blood remind us of sins forgiven and give us the strength we need to serve others. Not sure you heard about this, but Martin Luther discovered that the Greek word for freedom was Eleutheria, and very similar to the spelling of his own last name. For a time, actually, Luther called himself Martin Freedom. He did it not because he wanted to generate publicity for himself, but to teach those who would hear what he had learned from St. Paul as he said it in Galatians. The old Martin lived no longer, but Martin Freedom lived. Paul tells us this in Galatians. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So that's the freedom the Bible teaches. That's the freedom that we share. And that is also with Christ, that's the freedom in which we live. From Luther's writing, The Freedom of a Christian, his pamphlet, The Freedom of a Christian, he says these words. A Christian is perfectly free, Lord of all, subject to none. That sounds pretty good. He continues, a Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant, subject to all. That's the freedom of a Christian. Let me read it one more time. A Christian is perfectly free, Lord of all, subject to none. A Christian is a perfectly dutiful servant, subject to all. That's one of those paradoxes, isn't it? Well, simply put, as we close, in Christ, you and I are set free to serve. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which goes beyond all human understanding, guard your hearts and lives as you grow ever closer to your Savior, Jesus Christ, and as you serve others with joy. Amen.